I want you to take your Bible, turn to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. I sat up late last night, and as a lot of people did, and I went to sleep just when Trump was just short of getting all the votes that he needed. And I was watching Fox News. Listen, if you ever watch CNN, you better not let me know about it. Listen, Hillary Clinton, that dirty, rotten, cheating scoundrel, that just goes to show you. She cheated at every turn. She had somebody, she had the head of the DNC who worked for CNN getting her the questions that were going to be at the debate, CNN hosting the debates. They had it in for her. They had it in for Hillary Clinton. They were caught cheating by WikiLeaks, who saw the emails. And it was exposed to America that these people will lie and cheat and spend outrageous sums of money in order to get their way. There's a reason for this. It's because they know that the message that they really have won't stand in mainstream America. They've got to hide it, and they've got to come in seductively and secretly while they tell you guys, oh, we're for you working people, and we're going to get better jobs for you. What they really want to do is gain a base of power so they can absorb large sums of money and large amounts of power and single-handedly destroy this nation from the inside. We need a wall. There needs to be a wall. Salvation is characterized in the Bible as a wall. God appoints walls for salvation, the Bible says. Bulwarks. Guys that are watching out for your soul. Watchmen on the wall and whatnot. That wall is important. And when you don't have a wall around your country, these people... And listen, if my son-in-law is from a different country, but he's an American citizen now. He did it right. I had a man come up to me in revival out in Gainesville. He was from Hungary. And he was the sweetest man I ever met. And he come up, hugged my neck every night, and just bawled and cried. And he showed me a piece of paper one night. He said, "I'm most proud of that, other than my salvation." And what it was his citizenship certificate. He said, "I'm proud of that." And I said, "You know what? You're not looking behind your shoulder every day, seeing if immigration is going to come and get you." And that's the way to do it. So I'm not against immigration. I'm against illegal. Because people just come in our borders, they don't have and should never have the right to vote. They should not have the right to government services, our money. They should not have those rights. They came in illegally. They should be sent back. Anyway, okay? I forgot where I was going with that, but that was pretty good. Okay? But anyway, Donald Trump, I call this the Trump effect. What I was doing is I was listening to those guys on Fox last night, and I was listening to them talk, and I started making notes about the similarities between what happened in our country yesterday and what's been happening with a lot of you people that are here at Bethel now. Is that the establishment denominations like to hold the power over all the churches. You say what we tell you to say. You do what we tell you to do. And you sat in that church, and then they started with the NIV, and then they started with this mess, and they started with that mess. And at some point you said, "I got to step out of that stuff." Okay? And what Donald Trump was able to tap into, and this is another deal that really, I thought that it was going to go this way, but I want to say anything in case I was wrong. But those pollsters that came out every day saying, "Oh, Hillary Clinton's 2 points ahead. She's 5 points ahead over here. Oh, Hillary Clinton's this." And I'm just going, I remember Walter Mondale, George. I remember Walter Mondale. They had him neck and neck with Reagan. I mean, it was Walter Mondale and Ronald Reagan. Oh, they're neck and neck, 1984. And Walter Mondale won one state. It was the biggest landslide in U.S. presidential election history. But the pollsters all were bolstering up their candidate. They did the same thing this year with Hillary Clinton. She was bolstered up. large amounts of money were spent, lies were told, cheating things were done in order to get her to be elected president. But what Donald Trump was able to tap into was the normal people of America who realized that they've been lied to by their unions, they've been lied to by their churches, they've been lied to by political candidates over and over and over again, and they were sick of it, and they came out in droves yesterday. And I saw this, I think this is how it's going to go, because every place Donald Trump went, you had a 2.5 hour wait just to get in the door. He would announce, I'm going to be in Pittsburgh in 12 hours, and in 12 hours' time, they were stacked up outside the door. And I just had it figured that these pollsters got to be wrong. And they know how to, they don't question everybody. They have a select group that they go after, and then they tweak it a little bit and make it look like there's liars and then there's pollsters. And they're a shade below liars. All that stuff was done, but you had those who were disenfranchised, those who were disillusioned, those who said, this is our country. This is our land. This is our president. This is our government. This is our town. We don't want 60,000 Syrian refugees coming in, moving into our town. We don't want that. Okay? And common sense prevailed. And what happened, and I was just stunned by this, what happened was I looked in Jefferson County. Jefferson County has traditionally been a Democrat county. It's been that way for years. Even Ron Casey, Gene Casey's son, as good as he was, knew to run as a Democrat in this county, even though he had good standards, good ideas. Okay? It's changed. Because as everybody in Jefferson County is going to vote for Donald Trump, they're voting Republican for every other office. And I looked last night at the stats, and just about every office that was up for election in Jefferson County was won by a Republican. Just about every one of them. Okay? That's the even the sheriff who was the Democrat sheriff who was Glenn Boyer's choice to take his place lost. I think he lost because he was running as a Democrat. The Republican won. And here's what I'm saying. Okay? I don't think that Republicans are all Christians. But a conservative idea is biblical. We believe the Bible. We believe certain things are right and certain things are wrong. Amen? And what happened was the guys who, for the most part, are going to stand for at least half of what we believe in are the ones who got in office. I'm just hoping that we can turn part of this country around. Now, the liberals and the sodomites and that whole crowd, they're not going away. They're sitting back licking their wounds today. They're going to regroup and try to figure out how to get back in 4 years. So be on your guard. All right? Did I tell you where to turn? Turn to Genesis 12. I'm going to do this and then I'm going to go home. I ain't kidding you. This medicine's killing me and I'm going to call my doctor in the morning. All right? Genesis 12. Here was, when I saw this, I wanted to do a backflip in my office. I'm glad I didn't. But I follow certain people on Twitter. Twitter has become my Facebook. I don't get much on Facebook, but I do follow Twitter because it's short and to the point. It's not something I have to sit and read all day long. And one of the singers that I like from Greater Vision, Gerald Wolfe, he retweeted this. And it was a message from Benjamin Netanyahu to Donald Trump. And I watched, and I'll tell you what, I love that man. I love Netanyahu. I love what he stands for. Okay? He's not about to sell out his country. And God bless him for it. Is he a Christian? No. Let me tell you who he is. He is of the seed of Abraham. And I want to tell you, you don't curse Israel. Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton spent the last 8 years selling America out to Iran, Egypt, Libya, the Muslim Brotherhood, and ISIS. We sent weapons to ISIS. I have zero doubt of that. I think that's part of what she was covering up in those emails. Is that we sent weapons to ISIS. We sent them to the Muslim Brotherhood. There's no doubt in my mind that Obama and Hillary Clinton staged that coup in Egypt. We know they staged that coup in Libya. We know they did in order to favor the Muslim causes in those countries. And this is why Russia was about ready to start World War III with America, because we were trying to get into Syria and Russia was saying, you leave our allies alone. You attack them, you're attacking Russia. And Russia, Putin was about ready to say, you want to fight? Let's fight. And those of us in America are going, no, we had it pretty good with you Ruskies for a long time. You played in your yard, we played in ours, and we left each other alone. And Obama and Hillary Clinton were encroaching into that with the Muslim Brotherhood and ISIS. No doubt in my mind about it. And let me tell you something. You can only curse God's people so long. Then God will have His way. Genesis chapter 12. If you still believe the Bible, you need to believe this one. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will shew thee, and I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless... And watch this now. When Lazarus, the poor man, died, where does the Bible say he went? Bosom of Abraham. There was a special place in the heart of the earth reserved for those who died in faith with Abraham. And God favored Abraham so much that He named that place Abraham's bosom. Now watch this. In the heart of the earth, there's a gulf. There's a great expanse. Over on this side is hell. And over on this side, think about it. Today I saw my wife and I pulled her in. What I do is I pull her into my bosom. That is our place of comfort with one another. Amen? It's our place. When you sat down on mama's lap, you sat down and your head rested on her bosom. That was a place of comfort. Lazarus was not in any torture. He was not in any pain. Apparently, he had plenty of water. Because the rich man wanted Lazarus to dip his finger in water and come over there and cool his tongue. And Lazarus is being comforted in the place, the reserved place of the dead, until Christ came and set the captives free. Okay? Then they went to paradise, I guess, to heaven. Okay? He set them free. God blessed Abraham and made Abraham a blessing. That's I'm having a problem putting everything together tonight. But He said, I'm going to make you a blessing. And everybody that died in faith before Christ went and sat. That must be a big bosom. Amen? They all sat in Abraham's bosom. All right? So watch this. Verse 2. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee, make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Verse 3, here it is. I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now, when he said, in thee, God knew that in Abraham's loins was Jesus Christ. He was there. And he was just waiting until this generation turned to this generation, to this generation. You see it in Matthew chapter 1. You can see it in Luke chapter 3. Then you see that Jesus is born of the seed of Abraham. He's born of the lineage of Judah. He's born of the house of David. He comes from all of that. And out of Abraham comes the one who stands ready to bless all the families of the earth. Your family can be blessed if they will trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and have the faith of Abraham. Boy, somebody say amen. That's good. That blessing and that curse still exist. Now, I believe it's twofold. Okay? Number one, the literal seed of Abraham, and I'm going to show you this from the Bible, they still have a blessing coming. Okay? Even though God has taken them because of their unbelief and He set them back, and they actually breached God's covenant. They broke it. One of these days, the repairer of the breach is going to come. And he's going to give them a new covenant. That's Jeremiah 31. He's going to give them a new covenant. And he's going to forgive all of their sins. Everything they ever did wrong, he's going to forgive all of that. Okay? That's where the basis of the new covenant comes in. He said, it's not like the covenant of Mount Sinai. You're going to believe in me, and I'm going to forgive all your sins, and you won't even have to have anybody teach you. You'll just know what I said. You'll know the Bible. That's what God said. Okay? So I've learned over the years, I've studied this out for myself. I don't curse Israel. Now, when it comes to the Jews, you are dealing with some of the most corrupt, wicked, hell-bent, spiteful, arrogant, proud, boastful, manipulative, money-grubbing, and false teaching people on the whole planet. I've studied religions from all over the world, just my own private study. And I can tell you that the Jewish mystic Kabbalah religion is the most veiled and difficult religion to understand and follow. It is bizarre beyond bizarre. It is so veiled and so shrouded in secrecy, you never get to the depths of it. I mean, one day it occurred to me, these little 10 circles on that Sephiroth deal, their symbol. Okay, I know what that is. That's the 10 kings. That's the 10 toes. That's the fourth king. I get it. Okay? I understand what that is. And beyond that, I don't understand Jewish mysticism, the Kabbalah. I don't get it. Okay? But I know it when I see it. But here's what I'm saying. They are evil people. God said that long before you and I showed up and figured it out. That's why God, but watch this. As evil as they were, how many times did God give them yet another chance in the Old Testament? I mean, he gave them that Mount Sinai covenant, right? And he said, keep all these laws and don't break them. And they said, we'll keep all of them. And day one, they broke every one of them. And what did God do? Called Moses back up, gave him another copy, sent him back down. And they broke that. And then what did God do? God put them under cruel authority. Then he brought them back out, and they had revival, and they worshiped God, and they got wealthy, and then they started sinning, and then they started worshiping other gods, and God put them under cruel authority, and then they cried out, and God brought them out. And sent them. I mean, God, how many times did God forgive Israel? Over and over. They broke the covenant the first day. But yet, God did not fulfill His wrath upon them, but He always held it back just a little bit. I don't curse Israel. I tell the truth about them, but I don't curse them. I don't do what Barack Obama did. For a visiting dignitary of a nation that has had a long-standing number one relationship with America, to have to come to America and bypass the White House to speak to Congress while the man in the White House goes off playing golf or whatever it was he was doing, that was a shame to our country. Amen. And had our Congress not listened to Netanyahu, had they gone the way of Obama, I think we would have been in trouble. But for our Congress listening to Netanyahu beg and plead with us, saying, please, don't make this deal with Iran. They will make a nuclear weapon and they will kill us with it. Don't make a deal with them. Begged our country not to do it. Our president did it anyway. He's going, and the woman who followed in his footsteps, anybody hear from her today? I have no idea. Listen, it doesn't bother me that she didn't show up on the news today. Amen! Huh? Hillary Clinton quoting scripture would be like me cursing. It just don't sound right. Amen? Yeah. Bunch of nonsense. It doesn't sound right. Take your Bible, turn to Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40, let me tell you what Netanyahu did. He made a special video. I mean, he couldn't have made this. He must have, of course, it would be daytime over there while it's night over here. He probably was sitting watching Fox News, watching the election coverage. And as soon as he figured out Trump won that deal, he made a video. And you, if you have not seen it, go home, pull it up on your phone or whatever. Just go to Google and type in Netanyahu video. You'll see it. Okay? It was amazing. Because Trump has already, and Mike Pence, I know this man, they have already guaranteed Israel is our first priority in the Middle East. Okay? Now let me tell you something. God always put up with Israel's sin. God will put up with America's sin if we will bless Israel. Look at Isaiah 40. Comfort ye my people. Do you ever wonder why he said that twice? Remember what Abraham's bosom was? Remember what was poured out on the day of Pentecost? The Comforter. Okay? Guess what? He's going to pour it out again. For Israel. That's why he said it twice. Comfort ye. By the way, the word comfort. Ready for this? How many times is it in the Bible, Melissa? 66 times in the King James Bible. Robert, write that down. Okay. All right. Hey, John, this man wants in y'all's little group, all right? So hook up with him after church, okay? I think he's right for it. Anyway, comfort ye, my people, saith the Lord. You know what God's going to do? He's going to give them the Bible. Israel's going to read the New Testament. You know who's going to get it to them? It was the Gentile wife of Boaz that restored the inheritance to Naomi. That's us, people. When did Elisha get his double portion? When Elijah went up. He told him what to look for. If you see me go up, that's when you'll get it. Okay? We serve a purpose here. Preserve this book, because they're going to read it. And they're going to believe it. Thus saith the Lord. Speak ye, see that word, speak ye comfortably? That means give them Bible verses. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished and that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand, what? What number is that? Double for all her sin. Isn't it sweet? Okay. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. If you look at verse 5, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. And the voice said, cry, and he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand in the original. No, I won't do that tonight. I'm too tired. Shall stand forever. Amen. And Peter quoted that verse and he said, this is the word by which the gospel is preached. Listen, I got it in my mind that God is using us right now, Robert, to preserve this book, to hold on to it, and save it for Israel. And they're going to believe it. They're going to read it. They're going to believe it. God's going to put it in their heart and they're going to know it. They're going to be the recipients of the new covenant. You and I are just Leah. That's all we are, is Leah, the wife that he didn't want. But he'll take it. Israel is Rachel. She's the wife that he did want, and he's willing to work for her and fulfill the oath. Now turn to Revelation chapter 7, and then I'm going to quit. Revelation chapter 7, verse 1. And after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor any tree. Now watch this now. I'm going to show you how much God favors Israel of the last days. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. You know what the seal is? The seal of God. It's the Holy Spirit. Paul said, you are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise unto the day of the purchased possession. Okay, you are sealed unto that day. God's preserving in us His Word. Paul said, ye are the epistle of God, written and read of men in fleshy tables of the heart. God gave Israel the covenant written in stone. And Paul said, not written in stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. God offered them a covenant written in stone in the Old Testament. They accepted it, but they broke it. God now brings them a covenant which is in us, written in the fleshy tables of our heart, and God shows that to them, and it provokes them to jealousy, and then they turn to God, and God fills in with the Holy Spirit. Don't curse Israel. Don't vote for politicians that are going to vote against Israel. Don't put politicians in power and judges in power that are going to send money to Iran to develop nuclear weapons. How stupid are these people? Look at your Bible. He's going to seal them. Till He sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Verse 3. And I heard the number of them which were sealed. There were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12. See, that's what I asked Brady one time when he was a Jehovah's Witness. He said, well, the 144,000, you know, they're the God's servants. They're, you know, they're Jehovah's Witness. I said, okay, what tribe are you? Tell me what tribe you are. Oh, that doesn't mean a real tribe. Well, it says tribe. Amen. Notice that Judah's first. Judah's the line that Jesus came from. And when the Israelites were camped, Judah was always to the east. And when they broke forth to move, it was always Judah who was first. Always. Dan was the tail. Okay? Dan is not even mentioned in this list. He's cut out because of his iniquity. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. And you can read that on and on. And so he seals all the way down to verse 8, all the tribes of the children of Israel. And right after that, I want you to look at verse 9. Tell me what you see. Look at verse 9. Read it to yourself. Tell me what you see. Those who are of all nations, kindreds, people, and tongues, where are they at this time? Around the throne of the Lamb, with palm branches in their hands. Hosanna. Just like when Jesus rode in to Jerusalem, what were they doing? Waving palm branches. You know what that palm branch was a symbol of? Tabernacles. Tabernacles was the feast where it said, God is going to tabernacle with us. He's going to come and live with us in our little tabernacles. That's Emmanuel. The name Emmanuel means God with us. And didn't you ever question the idea? I'm so tired. Didn't you ever question the idea when the angel told Joseph, I think it was, thou shalt call his name Emmanuel? They never called him Emmanuel. Never. Never one time. When Jesus was born, did they ever call him Emmanuel? He said they call his name Jesus. For he shall save their people, his people from their sin. It's not time yet. It's not time yet. When he comes again, they will call him God with us. That's why they're waving the palm branches. You know what they're telling you? This is what this means. God's going to dwell with his people. Man, I love this. I'm wore out. You guys are killing me. But here's what I'm going to tell you. We're going to pray and I'm going to let you go. Because you look tired tonight. God put it in my heart years ago, studying the types and the shadows, to love Israel. And I tell you how He did it with me when I realized who Joseph was. Joseph was Christ. He came to his brothers the first time with his dreams, and they rejected him, and then they wanted to kill him. They took his robe off of him, the glory, which is the rainbow. That's the rainbow coat that he had on, the coat of many colors. They took the glory of the Lord off of him, and they would had him killed. But then Jesus ends up marrying a Gentile wife. Think about it. Okay? And when he does that, then his brothers come to him, but they don't know him. He came into his own, and his own received him not. And finally, Joseph couldn't take it, and he went and wept, and he squalled and bawled, and they could hear him all through the palace. And finally, he comes out to his brethren, who hated his guts. 22 is the number for Revelation. If you do the math and the timing, it was 22 years exactly that Joseph revealed himself to Israel. He said, "As I, Joseph, be not afraid. God sent me here to save you alive." And when they were afraid that he was just setting them up to be killed, he went to them and he wept on their shoulders. He took them and he held them all in his arms and he wept on them. And when I read that, I was bawling my eyes out, Jody. And I thought, wow, how much does our Savior love His own people? If they have an election over in Great Britain, who in here knows who the Prime Minister of Great Britain is right now? See, it doesn't affect you, does it? They're going to have an election in Kenya next year, which is probably why we're not going. They're going to change prime ministers over there. It has no effect on me. When we change our politicians here and we get some people that we think that we're going to go with, it makes us happy. Because I want to tell you why. This is our land. These are our people. And I care about what happens to my people. That's not racist. Everybody cares about their own people. God put that in us. There's nothing wrong with that. Jesus was a Jew. Still is. Okay? He loves his brethren. And he's weeping for the day that he can restore them and save them alive. When the bones are going to come together and the wind is going to go into their lungs and they're going to stand a mighty army. He's waiting for that day. You love Israel that way. God bless you. God's blessed this church over the years. Because I don't backflip on Israel. And I get emails from people saying, "Oh, don't you know there's not really Jews over there? That's... And the Nazis, all that stuff was made up." And I just, don't give me that nonsense. Netanyahu's a Jew. You can tell by looking at him. Amen? Listen, I'll just give you this. If you don't believe they're Jewish, ask any of the men that are. Because they still bear the seal of Abraham in their flesh to this day. Y'all know what that is? Circumcision. They still bear the seal of Abraham in their flesh to this day. It's them. Trust me. God did not lose them. God's got them in that place right where they belong. Quit reading stuff on the internet. Get back in your Bible. Amen. Let's stand to our feet.